will seem like they're happening for you. Rather than you having to go out and try to make everything happen on your own when you don't really know what you're doing, no way. That's what the book's really telling us. Would you like to have your experience made peaceful for you? Well, the way to have your experience made peaceful for you is simply for you to be willing to say, I give you to the Holy Spirit as part of myself. I know that you will be released unless I want to use you to imprison myself. In the name of my freedom, I choose your release because I recognize that we will be released together and you are deprived of nothing. Two thoughts. Okay. Anybody else want to share how they feel? I'm trying to cut down the analytical process. How do we feel about what we heard?
Release?
Yeah.
I feel good.
Good.
I think it's because I came in late. When you say you are deprived of nothing.
Mm-hmm. What's that? Deprived of nothing. Okay, you got it?
Yeah.
You are, it means you have everything. All love is yours. There is nothing missing. It means just what you think it means, literally. You are deprived of nothing. It didn't say you know you are deprived of nothing. It didn't even say you think, you know, it has nothing to do with that. Now we all are clear that it's a possibility that we don't see that we're not deprived of anything. But ask yourself honestly, how many times have you consistently walked around in your world saying to everybody around you, you're deprived of nothing? And how often have you walked around in your world and consistently said, for a little while, I give you to the Holy Spirit as part of myself, I know that you'll be releasing that someone. See what I'm saying? If you be honest, I bet you haven't. So therefore, you are experiencing the result of not using the idea. Okay, so you already have the physical experience of not using those ideas. Okay, so how do I become aware that I have everything? By being willing to share the idea that no one is deprived of anything. And also, to not use anybody to imprison myself. And that means forming a relationship with someone who's constantly attacking me and demanding that I sacrifice, and I'm constantly attacking and telling them that they got to sacrifice who they are, or something's wrong with who they are, or whatever. Okay? So then the mind says, let me make that hard and complicated. Okay, the mind goes, okay, let me see if I can really make that hard. Okay, I defy you to make it hard, because I'm going to keep bringing it right back around, no matter what you say, whatever your mind says, this is it. You walk around with the idea that people are not deprived of anything, whether they see it or not, and you choose to release people to God as part of yourself because you no longer want to use them to imprison yourself, because you're ready to be free now. Focus on those two ideas, and you will start to see the things in your life start to be made holy or happy or healing or healed for you. For you. There's nothing to do but to do it.
That helps when you said release it to God.
Well, yeah, yeah. God, release to God, release to the Holy Spirit. Some people, when you say release to God, that's when they resistance will come up.
I like that.
Some people, when you say release to God, that's when they feel good. So that's why I use all the different interchangeable definitions. Love, God, freedom, truth, you know, so that one way or another they get through, you know. Now, this next section is the section that I'd like to share with you. 25 years of studying this, and this is the section that runs the most students away. This is the chapter that runs the most students away for a while. They always eventually come back, even if it's years later. But this is the section. It's called Chapter 16, The Forgiveness of Illusions. If you want to go ahead and just give yourself the biggest thrust of fear that you can possibly give your ego and just not kid around and see how serious you are about going beyond your fear, then this is the chapter that you would read. Now, it'd be great if you read the chapters preceding it so that you would be somewhat prepared for what you were about to read, but we don't tend to operate that way. So, because that would minimize the fear, which would be the opposite of your ego's goal, which is to scare the crap out of you. So, and the reason why it's so frightening is because it's so true. that it throws people very deep into denial. Okay, for instance, let's take the first paragraph. It says, true empathy. To empathize doesn't mean to join in suffering. For joining in the suffering, that is what you must refuse to understand. Refuse to understand suffering. Joining in the suffering is the ego's interpretation of empathy, and joining in the suffering is always used to form a special relationship in which the suffering is shared. The capacity to empathize is very useful to the Holy Spirit, which is God, provided you let the Holy Spirit use empathy in His way. Now, love's way is very different from the ego's way, which is fear's way. So I said again, love's way is very different from fear's way. The Holy Spirit does not understand suffering. God does not understand suffering. And God would have you teach, love would have you teach that suffering is not understandable. When God or real love relates through you, God does not relate through your ego or fear or suffering to another's ego or fear or suffering. In other words, love, God does not join in pain. Because love understands, God understands that healing pain isn't accomplished by delusional attempts to enter into the pain, and then lighten the pain by sharing the delusion of pain. Whew. Okay. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Now listen to this the way you would a conversation. Don't listen to it the way you would if you were trying to figure it out. Okay, then you get it. Okay, did y'all hear the subtle difference? Listen to me like I'm just a person having a conversation with you. Don't listen to me from the perspective like you're trying to figure out the meaning. Okay, because remember, the course is learned differently. So this is the way that works. It's like saying, I know what you think to empathize is, but let me share you the real deal. To empathize, when you say I'm going to empathize with somebody, you're saying, I'm not going to join in suffering with you. I'm not going to join in the suffering with you. That's true empathy. True empathy is me maintaining my peace and not joining in your suffering so that I don't add to it. Now, he says, that's what you must refuse to understand, joining in the suffering. Then it goes further. He said, because that's the ego's interpretation. He says, a fearful mind, a mind that's fearful and doesn't know the truth, it believes that to empathize means you feel bad now, I feel bad with you. You are hurting, so I'm going to hurt. You're sad and I'm sad and I'm not sad. What? Okay. That's when, you know, Gary Manilow got his 10 codependent Emmy. And so he says, because this is the funny part. This is hilarious. It says, a fearful, insecure, unaware of love mind. That's the ego, right? It interprets joining in the suffering as being empathetic. So it's really using this joining in the suffering. It's always used to form a special relationship in which the suffering is shared. Now, in other words, here's a sad, lonely person, and I'm a sad, lonely person too. And I join with you and we form this special relationship where we're sad together. So now we suffer together. I'm miserable, you miserable. You're not satisfied with your job, I'm not satisfied with my job. You wish you had more friends, I wish I had more friends. I wish I had more money, you wish you had more money. Broken into by periods in which we go to the movie, you know, go for a hike, or, you know, have a little sex, or, you know, go out, you know what I'm saying? Then we go back into what we think is missing, where we think we're deprived, and how we're going to fill that hole back up. And we want to have somebody to do it with. And we